And we're talking basketball here on the Hoop Mall Sacramento Kings podcast. I'm Sam Comenti, alongside the incomparable and all-knowing Jill Adge here on this beautiful Monday.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. We're about to watch some Giants baseball. That's all I'm going to say about it. We need a win tonight. That's why we're doing this now. But Jill, rough weekend for sports, right? I mean, we had no Kings content to keep us really entertained, except for some of the stuff we're going to go over, but no games. So instead we had to watch our Giants, because you are a Giants fan, correct? Let me make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I was at the game on Saturday. Blech. That was upsetting.
At least we got one. We got one
big game going on in about an hour. The Niners, they've turned on Kyle Shanahan. The Raiders,
as a Niner fan, that wasn't great.
Yeah, and then
more
my Raiders,
injuries too. And yep. Now the Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders, everyone's going to already know what's happening when this is uploaded, so I don't even need to say anything. It's a mess. But thankfully, this is a basketball podcast, so we can focus on basketball. And the focus for the Sacramento Kings tonight in their second-to-last preseason game is the Blazers, who won't look like the Blazers tonight, Jill, because nobody's
both
playing.
Both teams are resting just a bunch of players, which yeah. Walton is now doing his pregame press conference, I guess. And I just saw the comment that said that Bagley's feeling better today. Tomorrow's an off day for the Kings. So he said basically it made sense for anyone that's going through any kind of like soreness. Why wouldn't you give them today and tomorrow as treatment day? So that includes Buddy, that includes Bagley, that's anyone that was necessarily feeling soreness. I'm not sure about, it said Halliburton was rest, but he very well could be sore, maybe on the wrist. I mean, who knows? But yeah, if anyone's paying attention to any other team right now, like it's rest galore. Like this,
yeah.
The Kings and the Blazers are not alone. There's been ones too where there's guys, the Cavs are sitting Sexton just for the rest of the preseason. He has like some shoulder soreness. So they're like, not even, you know, like why risk it? Totally understand for preseason. Why risk it? Yeah.
You got to get back.
It's the beginning of the year. You have a lot of games. Like
exactly.
You gotta
get ready to go back to 82, which doesn't seem like it would be a huge difference, 10 more games, but it is. And it's pretty much is the exact normal schedule that they're used to pre-pandemic. So yeah, I mean, people haven't really talked too much about it yet, but there are going to be a lot of injuries, unfortunately, at the onslaught of the season, just because people's bodies are going to have to readjust. So it makes total sense that Walton and many other coaches, as you said, are going to prepare for that inevitable situation. Starting lineup tonight is exciting, though, for what we do have and who is playing for the Kings. Davion Mitchell getting his first start with this group next to Fox, and then Barnes, Harkless, and Holmes. What do you think of that lineup?
I think it'll be fun. It should be gritty, right? I mean, with adding Davion and Harkless to it. I'm curious now to see the does this mean maybe Ramsey will be running the second unit?
Yeah.
At this point, he's the only other, like, point Holman. Guard. Well, and then you have Davis, like, but I think Ramsey, at least has some Coleman, yes, as well. But I would think just being they might want to get more minutes for Ramsey. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see which way they go with this. But I would imagine you get more Terrence Davis. I'd assume you get more Ramsey, because Buddy's out too, right? So
Lewis King. My guy, Lewis King.
Yep. Maybe we'll see some Woodard, who we haven't seen. And then we'll have Len. He's still there, but Thompson's out. So maybe we'll see some of our guy, Kata.
Yeah. We haven't seen him yet this preseason, have we?
No. So we might see some Nemi. So, that'll be exciting. Might see maybe some more Metu possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Bagley and Thompson are out, right? Who were both had been playing the four, and then you have Harkless filling in. I think a lot of these guys that were getting those, you know, end of the fourth quarter minutes there's a chance they could see some more minutes. And at this point, why not? Right.
Why not?
Get them some run.
Yeah. And I don't know what will happen in the last preseason game on Thursday against the Lakers at home. There is a high probability, though, I would think, Jill, that that would be the game that you treat as obviously like the tune-up. You know, you play your starters.
I know the Lakers are. Yes.
Are they? Okay.
They, so I didn't know that. It'll be the very – AD came out, I think it was yesterday after their game against Phoenix, and said it'll be the first game that it'll have Westbrook, LeBron, and AD all playing together. So,
and the Kings are likely to do that too. Most teams will treat the last game as the final tune-up, get your rotation kind of in order. So this game, of course, makes sense as one where it's almost like you're punting on it. Just say, hey, let's see what else is going on, like what these guys can do at the bottom of this roster if they fit on the roster or if they fit on the G League squad or what's going to go on there. So yeah, it's a game that if you're not a fan of like those edge of the roster, like practice squad, if you will, guys, then probably don't care to pay attention to it. But I'm intrigued by it. I definitely want to see how Lewis King does, Ramsey does, Woodard, who hasn't played a whole lot, seems to have fallen out of favor with Walton and the staff. So yeah, it's going to be a young guy game. Same for the Blazers. Already touched on that. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, most of their bench guys are not going to play. They're going to sort out a lot of their like Exhibit 10 contract guys, which they have a couple good players on that exhibit deal that you might know more about than me. But I know Dennis Smith is on that for the Blazers. So you'll see him.
Yeah. And so I know just for reference for people out there, most teams offer the Exhibit 10 to guys they are looking to sign to their G League affiliate. So you see those going around, and it essentially gives them kind of first rights and a little bit more money opportunity to claim those players for their G League squad. So just as a,
that helps.
When you see that out there, that's usually because they're looking in, they want to hold on to them, that they're not necessarily going to get right a roster spot. But it gives opportunity for the first dibs of
the Blazers contract. Are definitely a team that have their, you know, 10 guy rotation already figured out. Like this isn't, even with a new coach, Chauncey Billups now stepping in for Terry Stotts. There's no real question as to who their 10 or 11 on a normal night's going to be. So for them, this is definitely about running out as many of their guys as they can to see who can fill out the roster.
Yeah. So just a little bit more info on that. Exhibit 10,
please.
So it allows a player who's cut. So if you sign the guy to the Exhibit 10, it brings them into training camp. Hmm. So you then would cut that player, but allows them to earn a bonus of up to $50,000 if they sign with the G League team and stay there for at least 60 days. So again, like it's a little bit more money incentive. So if you keep Terry and you keep Coleman, right, that gives them a $50,000 bonus if they end up staying there for, in addition to their, what is it? Is it $500,000 now?
The minimum that you can get?
Yeah. For your G League.
That sounds right.
I think that was a price the NBA did during everything to try and get people to stay right and stay in that league.
This is a good ad for Jill's water cooler, everything you're doing right now. This isn't part of that, but this is why we do this. This is why we have you, Jill.
Yeah, but then by having them in your G League, right, you're getting to see them more. And so if something happens during the season via trade or something like that, it allows you to kind of have that relationship already to possibly sign as a two-way or an open roster spot, 10-day contracts, etc. So it just kind of keeps that relationship building between young guys. And when you saw in the summer how Coleman and Terry played, right, it made sense that the Kings would want to keep them around with these other developmental guys. So
yeah, absolutely.
And a guy like Terry, who last year played overseas and played in the bubble or whatever with the Clippers, I believe. And so this gives a little, maybe him some more money incentive to maybe not go overseas and stay here. So, yeah.
This is to build off this, a good little transition to roster projections, because this game is really going to tell us who's going to fill those fringe spots for the Kings. So Jill, do you, knowing the contracts and how they're currently laid out for the Kings, as I know you do, the non-guaranteed guaranteed deals, as you explained the Exhibit 10, which the Kings don't have anyone on an Exhibit 10, if I'm wrong. Or do that?
Is Coleman it Stewart and Terry?
Terry and Coleman,
Terry, and then maybe Stewart as well.
The rookie from Duke.
It could be the three. Okay. Yeah.
And then we know the two ways right now are Lewis King and Kata.
Yep.
And then Damian Jones and Chimezie Metu are on non-guaranteed. They're the guys who could be cleared out of the roster. Are they guaranteed? Damian Jones is guaranteed.
Up.
You're right. Yep. You're right. They're both picked
both had them picked.
However, they are only like 1 mil contracts or so. They're not much. So yes, they're guaranteed, which would make you think they're going to make the team. But
they're minimums, right?
They're minimums. You can get out of it relatively easily if you wanted to open up that spot. So thank you for clarifying that for me. And so do you think there's going to be any surprises on this final 15, or do you think we already have it set? Like none of these guys on the outside are going to make it in your opinion?
No, Terry, Coleman, and Stewart are all exhibit.
So they're going to go to the G League, you think?
And I think they're going to end up signing with the Stockton Kings.
Cool.
I'd be shocked at this point if they're not. That's kind of why you usually offer these.
Right.
I don't see any surprises, at least based on what we've seen so far. They have their set.
I only say this just because they have so many big men that I've been holding out this mindset that in the end, as they get right towards the season, which we're obviously almost there, that Damian Jones and or Metu might, even though their contracts were guaranteed at the beginning of camp, because you don't know how injuries are going to play out or how guys are going to play. You want to make sure you have enough bodies. But I've been holding this mindset that maybe one of them will actually end up getting cut, even with that guaranteed deal, if someone really impressed out of those exhibit 10s or two-way. You know, Lewis King really impresses, you decide to give him the standard deal, fill in another person with the two-way.
Yes, that's, and I think that could happen. I just don't think they necessarily need to do that.
Yet. Yeah, it's unnecessary.
I mean, if they wanted, yeah. I mean, normally you would end up, yeah. I think just because you have like the Woodard, like those guys are all between Jones, Metu, Ramsey, Woodard. They're all making less than $2 million, right? Like that. If you ever wanted to go that route, like you had mentioned dropping Woodard before and promoting King, they could do that at any time. I don't think they necessarily have to do it now. Right now they have their 17 bodies and they seem comfortable in that. We haven't heard anything about anybody like on a bubble.
That's true.
Right.
Haven't heard anyone overly impressed either.
No. And so, and at least right now you have King on that two-way, right? So he's not going anywhere. And if a trade happens down the road and that trade frees up a roster spot, then you can always bump him up then. But right now, even those, all four of those guys too, could be trade filler pieces as well, being on, you know, small deals. So yeah, I see your point, but I don't know if they necessarily have to do it yet. And we haven't heard anything about Terry Coleman or Stewart. Like,
but maybe tonight that's my point also, is maybe tonight one of those guys really falls out. And then all of a sudden now they're kind of like reconsidering what their plan is, but you're not thinking that's realistic.
At this point I would think they'd already have,
it's fair.
It wouldn't be based on time. It'd be like,
I'm pushing a narrative,
a prolonged, for no reason. To me, the fact that they picked up Joan, like those
cemented them in.
Yeah. At least for the moment. Yeah.
Sure. Quickly on this, because it's been talked about plenty. Do you take anything of Ben Simmons saying he would be fine going to Sacramento, and then also Ben Simmons and his agent doing some sort of little power move, like bluff today, Rich Paul and Ben Simmons? No, you're not. I mean,
and we're not going to go down that hole again. And then put his house up for sale.
Like, right, and then the house going up for sale.
I'll report, but I'm going to put both of my houses up for sale. Like, yeah. Let me know when someone's traded.
That's right.
It's like, yeah. Everything is like, oh, breaking news. And then it's like, meeting. Like, yeah. I don't care. They're continuing to meet. Like, and go have fun with that chemistry and go have fun throwing him out there in front of your fans who have been trashing him all summer. Right. And saying if they're at a game and he come and he ends up playing, they're just going to boo him. Which I totally get, because at Sacramento, we've seen people do that here. Once you kind of make a comment, right, that's disparaging. It's just, the whole thing is just ugly. Like it, and yeah. And they're so worried about, they've been so worried about chemistry the last couple of years. I mean, that's gotta be uncomfortable.
I love off seasons
coming in. if he was to ever come in. I just don't know how you salvage that. If they do, I guess I'd be really impressed, but I just don't know how you act like none of the things that happened happened. So I don't know.
I love off seasons in any sports because you need, obviously there's a giant lull period, especially, you know, in that gap after the season ends for your team and then like drafting and free agency where nothing really happens. So you need to find something to talk about, especially writers and podcasters and stuff.
Yep.
So I just love with the Kings. It's always something, it just seems like so like over the top or like unrealistic in most cases, but it's like, it grabs your attention. You're like, oh wow, Ben Simmons. Tell me more. And then it goes on for way too, way
but now long. The fact that it's like keeps going on. Yeah. And to me, it's more so it's off-putting that everything that they put out says like breaking news in front of it. And it's like, it's not, I mean, like, it's just another part of the saga. It's not like breaking news and that something actually happened. It's, and then even today after it was, well, they're still just continuing to talk. And it wasn't Simmons that talked to anybody. It was just his agent. So it's, again, it's not even like Simmons and these guys are actually getting in a room and talking again. It's everything's being done through.
That's not checkers.
Through agent and everything else.
I don't know who's playing what at this point.
Yeah.
They're playing some other game I've never seen or paid attention to. Yeah. No more Ben Simmons talk.
And then the whole him like coming to Sacramento at this point, I think the guy just wants to play for anybody not being the Sixers.
That's clear. So, that I'm
and wants his cash sure. and wants his cash.
Don't we all?
Right. So
what did happen this weekend? Kings related. And it looked like fun. I wish I could have been there at I've always actually wanted to attend one of these along with a summer league game, which I know you've been to summer league games, Jill, the Kings Fan Fest. First one since 2019. It's back. And they had a fun time on Saturday. There was a lot going on. I'm getting calls now, Jill. John Gruden just was forced to resign. So this is going to blow up news headlines.
Wait, what happened?
John, I'm shifting gears, but I'm getting my phone blown up. I'm a Raider fan, as people know. John Gruden.
Wait, did he really? He just resigned? He just
stepped down after more of his emails and really messed up, fucked up. And I'll say that because there's no other way of putting it. Things that he said came out. And can't escape your past, John. So that's going to make a lot of headlines. And I'm just going to turn my phone over. It's pretty nuts. $100 million man, no more, Jill. $100 million man, no more. But FanFest, shifting back to what I was saying. Actual King Schefter. Stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody, which, you know, he had to do it and he couldn't wait around. Tyrese Halliburton, who has not had a chance to play in front of fans, at least until I think they played like their last two home games with a couple people and their like families in there, if I'm remembering correctly. But he hasn't had a chance to play in a filled Golden One, which FanFest looked like it was almost practically filled. He went out there and he literally, when his first time in front of a lot of fans, Sacramento Kings fans in that arena, serenaded them, singing. What did he sing? Something about the song about love. I meant to write it down. Did you see this? No, you didn't. He sang some song.
Wait. The FanFest. Okay, yes.
Sorry, our minds are both elsewhere. There's a lot going on.
Now, world. I know what you're talking about.
Sorry, yes, no, Jill, I get it. I'm trying to keep my focus as much as I can and not look at everyone that's currently texting me. The FanFest
thing, yes.
He sang, and I thought he sang pretty well. He got highly reviewed from De'Aaron Fox and some of the teammates for how he did. Of course, I never want to hear him actually sing. I mean, play some basketball, dude. I could care less if he could sing or not, but he was entertaining and he was really involved with the crowd. And I love that about Halliburton. He's just a very lovable guy, as I've said multiple times. So that came out of there. Davion Mitchell sang the 2C slide for about 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Stewart.
You know what I love? Yeah. You know what I loved about the Halliburton thing too, is it's like, as someone who can't sing, like, I love that he just owns it. Right. I mean, like, you see so many rookies out there that are like embarrassed, and I get it. Like, oh God, like, I'm, it's one thing to go out there and play basketball in front of people, but it's another thing to go out there and sing, especially if you're not musically inclined, like with the voice. But he totally, like, every time he owns it and just has fun with it, and is like, it's like he's singing karaoke, like the rest of us do, right? Like, we don't care what it sounds like. We're just gonna go out there and have fun. And I thought him and Davion did that, and it was,
that's the point of FanFest. Entertain, right? Like, it's these players' chances to really be themselves. You know, they're not playing; they're just messing around, and they get to show the people who they are as people. Show the fans who they are as people, and they did that. And Tyrese is absolutely going to be so beloved by these guys, as he already is. Davion, fast approaching that level himself. DJ Stewart, you know, important time for someone on an exhibit contract on the fringe to kind of get himself some recognition, which he danced pretty good to Levitating by Dua Lipa, which is an awesome song. So a lot of shenanigans, a lot of fun. The main point I'm trying to get from this and why I brought it up is the team looks loose. They continue to look loose, and fan fests are usually like that. You know, I don't think there's ever been drama at a fan fest, but this team looked like they're having fun. Tristan's in there doing his Iman Shumpert impersonation, like really hyping everybody up and enjoying the vibe. And again, just hope it can carry into the season for as long as it can, because you need that. You really need that mindset and those good feelings heading into a normal season again.
Yeah. I loved it. And then did you see the just more of the quotes that've come out, right? And Terrence Davis talking about the chemistry and just guys out there having fun, as you said, Fox, like all these guys, again, they're saying the right things. No, let's just see it on the court. Let's see it translate.
Translate it, please.
We love all the hot mic, you know, quotes, but let's see it out there on the court.
Yeah, no, and we're excited. We are definitely anxious. What's today again? The 11th. So we're 7 days, 8 days away. They play on the 19th.
Yep. Well, that's the opening night.
Maybe they play on the 20th. Dates are hard.
At 20th. Yep. 20th. Trailblazers.
At the Trailblazers. So that's also, getting a feel for Portland right now. The players are, because that's where they'll be again in 11 days. Or 9 days, excuse me. Again, math. Jeez. So
it's the end of the day.
Set.
We're here. We're good.
Like, I know, right? I just coached a soccer game. We got our butts kicked. Jill, don't coach soccer. That's just my advice to you.
I did years ago.
You did. That's right. We talked about this.
Yeah, I coached my nephew.
Yeah, I'm coaching a bunch of middle schoolers.
Just a couple years out of high school, I coached him and his little guys. But yeah.
I try to have fun.
Nothing
but
recently.
So competitive all the time. All that matters is they enjoy themselves, which they are, but I'm like, I want to win every game.
And that's the thing. I feel like from when I did it all those years ago, it wasn't as like, when you go to games now, there's a shift in how parents and fans, and I mean, we all know that, like, reacted no matter what sporting event. And I just feel like when I coach, I mean, they were little and it was pretty cool in the sense that we never had any like crazy parents or anyone like that. So, but yeah, now when I go and watch that nephew is now older, but when I go and watch my other younger ones now, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like,
right,
guys, like, it's, they're just out there. Let them have fun. I mean, cause you screaming is going to make them not have fun.
No, it's true. So, they're just trying to enjoy it.
I get the competitiveness.
You want to teach them young too to be competitive. And that's my mindset.
Oh, sure.
Otherwise, they're going to look like the Sacramento Kings last year.
Yeah, it's that fine line of being competitive and making them hate the sport.
Right. Yeah, make sure they actually still want to play. Yeah. It's a balance for sure.
But no, I mean, because then they get excited when they do well too, right? Like it becomes a fun thing. So
then they're more into it for sure. Yep. Davion's dunk. Practice highlights. Again, social media team for the Sacramento Kings. Yeah. Outstanding.
I think we
job.
Were all met to on that, right?
Yeah, oh, right.
We're all met to.
Or Tristan Thompson in the background of the photo, just like mouth open. Social media team is absolutely killing it for the Kings, as they always do. Best social media team in the land. And they've been pumping great content out. Davion's dunk. And what I loved about it most, the reactions were great. Of course. Davion looking like he didn't care, like that was just like casual for him, rising up and dunking over a couple people. That was awesome. That's why the guy's so infectious in how he is and his mindset. He never gets too high, never gets too low. He's just him. He's a baller and he goes at it. And so I like that. He your best play probably in practice as a rookie so far, got back on defense.
Oh, totally. I remember watching highlights and, you know, after obviously we drafted him and then just the draft process, watching tape and stuff on him, I didn't realize he had the hops that he had. We were able to see in some of those packages, them doing it, but I was laughing at how many responses to that got with was if you were, you know, if you weren't out searching, you know, for those clips and things like that, that how many people were like, oh man, he could dunk. Like, I had no idea he had the hops.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Mean, you just never know when it comes to some shorter guys.
He's 6'1", right?
And even he says some he's 6'2". Taller guys that just don't dunk, right? Like, everything's a finger roll. And so, but he does, he gets up there. And I think that helps with his defense, right? He's springy, like, he gets around. And so,
is it?
Yeah.
I don't think, tell me what you think. I don't think I've been this excited for a Kings rookie. And I can't really, maybe since Tyreke Evans or Jimmer, I guess, if I'm being honest. Well, Tyrese, yeah, of course. But, you know, we didn't get to see a whole lot of stuff like this, like the practice dunks or
sure,
all that stuff.
Because sure.
He wasn't allowed to. But Jimmer, I remember admittedly being really pumped because Jimmer was like all the rage, you know, pulling it from half court and made it cool. Jimmer did it first, not Steph. Jimmer did. And I'm going to get so much feedback on that. But it's been, yeah, I mean, I don't know when the last time I was so excited to see a guy play for the Sacramento Kings coming into his rookie year. Davion's the dude already. He really is. That's why I keep talking about him.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And now my dogs have decided to start going.
Yeah.
Sporadic. So I love you, your hear dogs. Them in the background. Well, they decided it's playtime now under me. I've been on the computer all day, so it's like,
right.
Pay attention to me.
Yeah.
So now they're just going at each other.
De'Aaron Fox's comments. I'm sorry, unless you have more.
But yeah, no, I'm totally with you on at least the excitement factor and how much people are putting on him to really like change the culture of everything, right? Like, if you're asking a lot. I mean, I know he's an older rookie, but it's still a lot to put on any real first year player. But you know what? He seems to embrace it, right? Like, he's and according to, you know, all the players, that he's bringing that kind of mentality, you know, every day. So, and the kid has done it everywhere he's gone. Like, you hear that from his ex teammates at the different colleges he attended, that's just what he was.
Man knows work. So, and that's it.
Yep.
And, again, kudos to Monty McNair 2 years in a row, I think, acing it on his first round picks, not overthinking it, not worrying too much about where's he going to play, whatever. Just took the best guy and very high character guy 2 years in a row. Yep. Took a guy who, you know, is going to give you 1,000% of what he's got. De'Aaron made a comment after practice on Saturday, I believe, or maybe Friday, sometime over the weekend while we were watching other sporting events. He said, do what we're here to do, but have fun while we do it. It's been great so far. Highlighting the atmosphere and the energy that he's experiencing this training camp with the Kings. I personally cannot hear enough of that. I get it. We've said it. We want to see it translated. But this is the top guy. This is your dude. This is your main guy coming out and making a comment that I don't remember him making.
I was just going to say, I
don't remember him saying something like that.
We like to say that those are like small comments, but I mean, I don't remember him saying like that they were having fun before, right?
Right.
Like,
and that's sad.
I mean, so and sad. That's sad, right? And even Davis mentioned the comment that like, I think this is the best job I can have in America. Like, right.
Yeah.
He's like, I know this is work, but
it's fun,
like,
work.
But we love actually coming here. And how many times have we heard about people not loving to come here, even though they're getting
more
paid,
than we've
right?
Heard.
Like, they're just coming to get their check. Like, that's right. I mean, and they made it known, I'm just here to collect my check. And so it's nice to see, that they're out there, you know, and enjoying themselves and having fun. And then you hope, right, that enjoyment builds that chemistry and keeps building these guys wanting to grow together. Right. I mean, and that's the thing is the young guys we're talking about, you want them to be here, right. For a while. Like, you don't want to hear their names.
Want to sell them on Sacramento.
Don't want to. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, and it reminds me of when they were having fun. You know, it was Jaeger's last year, right? And how, like, they had that identity, right? And we keep talking about chemistry, and I think you can talk about identity as well, right? Like, it's, you know, they had that scores identity and just how much fun they were having. And all the post game comments from opposing teams were, how much fun they were having. And, you know,
team.
Within 2 years, so that same, you know, right, it was Charlotte, right, that they had played Charlotte, and the post game of the Charlotte players were, man, these guys look like they're having so much fun, like, they're running us off the court. 2 years later, Charlotte is saying how we're a joke, like, and they're coming here, and we just know the Kings are an easy win and we're a joke. Like, in a span of 2 years, it was, oh my God, look how much fun these guys are having. And they're not easy to, oh, they're just a joke now. And so, I mean, it's so, again, like, you want to get back to that vibe. And we had people watching League Pass all the time saying the Kings were their League Pass team. And so again, that gives you excitement, and we all want to see them on national TV. Like, you have to start doing these things for you to start being acknowledged.
There was a tweet a while ago from someone, I want to say Kevin Phippen. That name sounds familiar. I might be messing up his name.
Kevin. Yeah.
Kevin. I don't know Kevin, but I think this was him that tweeted. I could be way on, but someone tweeted when the Kings were really fun that year, and then followed up 2019 with Luke Walton's 0-5 start and whatever. There's something along the lines of, man, I really miss when the Kings were awesome for 2 months. Like, that was so cool. And just so funny when you put it like that, because it was such a short amount of time that we got to enjoy some awesome, exciting basketball where teams are complimenting us. Steve Kerr, Kings went 0-4 against the Warriors that year. But every time after the game, Steve Kerr pointed out, Dave Yeager's an awesome coach. We didn't deserve to win this game. They deserve to keep beating up. Like, he was scared of us, it seemed. Like,
and
he
what
was
they're building, right?
Right, it's right. Exciting. He was relieved that they got out with a win, because it's like, they almost beat us, you know? It amazing how much can change. And of course, a pandemic will do that as well, but a lot can change.
I mean, that's what people are saying about Phoenix, right? I mean, it took,
there you go.
Yes, so I know it's Chris, back, I know it took Chris Paul, but again, but the fact that they're winning, and it's like, oh, those guys are having fun, and they're actually succeeding. They went from the bottom to the top. Like, I know.
Why not us?
Look at the, right? I just keep going. Look at the Giants, right? They have the 8% chance of at the beginning of the season.
107 and wins.
Again, that's why you play. So these guys just put in the work, go out there and do what you need to do. It's why you play. No one expected them 3 years ago on Dave's last year to do what they, to almost be 500 either. So,
and
I mean,
to be contending,
you know,
for the 8th spot. Yeah.
Things happen every year. You have injuries, you have dysfunction, you know, like between other teams, like there's always other teams, you know, that have issues too. So when you could take advantage of things, which the Kings haven't done in previous years, it's, you know,
a lot of ifs,
it's
to close this out.
How it is.
Cause you know, me and you both agreed, Jill, there wasn't a whole lot we could talk about on this Monday, at least in the basketball realm of things. We're going to have a lot more come for sure Friday after the Kings again, play their final preseason game Thursday, run out a lot of their starters in their main rotation against the Lakers at home. You can watch that game on NBC Sports Bay Area. So I'll definitely be watching, and we'll talk more about that on Friday with a roundtable of guests that we'll mention more on Wednesday's podcast. But to close out for today, I wanted to ask you, there's just been some news circulating about the NBA's interest in changing this like alternate concept uniform from what it is, has been like the city edition or whatever they call it, to like more of a retro, like homage to previous years, like a throwback.
Which the Kings have so like some good ones. So I'm excited. Like,
that's
please,
my question. What like... do you, there's so many good ones. Yeah. Don't say the gold either. You're so full of crap. If you say the gold one is the one you want back.
Will be the only one.
I know. And I'm talking exactly to Will.
Because he actually loves them.
He's the only person that loves that jersey. Nobody liked those jerseys, but I like that people will like, or following that trend. Jill, though, what you have a lot to choose from. What say you? What jersey?
You gotta give
all
me,
of those.
I will answer this one next week, because I'm gonna go back and
you're
go
look
through
back at all,
because I've had so many years of different.
That's fair.
I mean, obviously, like most of the ones we think of are like late 90s, the early
the glory years.
Thousands when they were good.
Yeah. I want the
but
black
I
ones.
Do
that's
like
pretty simple.
I've always liked the retros and all that too. But we had the checkers, we had the black with the purple.
Checkers is bold.
Yeah. Well, okay. Next episode, let's do like our top three or something like
there
that.
Go.
And we'll come back to this, and then let us know your guys' top.
There you
like,
go. Yeah. So we can have some ideas.
Yeah.
No, I should have warned you about that sooner. I threw that out at you, but I'm excited. I'm excited about
but
what
see,
the Kings
now we
will
have
roll
it
out.
Now we have it for the next
good.
One.
We're planning the next show already. Thank you guys for joining us. Giants, please go get a W. And same with Kings, actually. Stay perfect on the preseason. And we'll catch you guys back here on the Ball Sacramento Kings podcast on Wednesday. You guys have a great Monday night.